When did American presidents become such pussies? Have you noticed the recent string of American presidents we've had to deal with? They're weak. What happened to good old-fashioned balls to the wall, salt of the earth, kick ass, take names later type of presidents? People like to complain that we haven't had a female president yet, and it's just one big long line of straight white men in office. But seriously, take a deeper look. Do any of them really remind you of men in the modern era? Let me explain what I mean. First off, two future presidents signed the Declaration of Independence. This was considered an act of treason against the British crown. Treason was a capital crime. That meant they either won the war or faced execution. It was, if I may say, an insurrection. That's right. The men celebrated in the history books once tried to overthrow their government. They take one look at January 6th and say, "Hold my beer." Broken windows, podium snatching, office pranks, and costume parties, the founding fathers said, "Get your musket. We're going to war." One of the 56 men in the room when the Declaration of Independence was signed was Benjamin Rush of Pennsylvania. He wrote that, quote, "A pensive and awful silence pervaded the House as we were called up, one after another, to the table of the President of Congress, to sign what was believed by many at that time to be our own death warrants." The two future presidents that signed their death warrant that day were Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. But what were so ballsy about these guys? Well, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. He didn't just sign it, he wrote it. They were his words. And he made an eloquent case for leaving the crown, and it's considered one of the greatest written works in American history. John Adams agreed to defend the British soldiers at the Boston Massacre, a very unpopular, controversial act. But he did it because of his principles. He believed that upholding the legal rights of the soldiers was important, regardless of what the public thought. We aren't necessarily swimming in a sea of literate.
Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Eloquent.
If we fall for.
Articulate.
To build chips, the three nano chips. And you know what I'm saying.
And principled men, if you know what I mean.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Signing death warrants for a cause is not what any of our modern presidents have been up to. And can we just expand this for a minute to the regular lot of clowns in our whole political system? Because that pool of wannabe presidents isn't so inspiring. When's the last time anyone in politics believed in something so much and did something with such certitude they were willing to die for it? These days, politicians can't decide their political party or who should be president. They don't even have convictions.
Write so beautifully, and your stuff is so fun to read, but you write about Trump. Quote, "The way that you build a truly vicious nationalist movement is to wed a relatively small core of belligerent idiots to a much larger group of opportunists and spineless fellow travelers whose primary function is to turn a blind eye to things. We may not have that many outright Nazis in America, but we have plenty of cowards and bootlickers. And once those fleshy dominoes start tumbling into the Trump camp, the game is up."
And they don't know what the word never means.
I'm a never Trump guy. I never liked him.
At the end of the day, do you believe Donald Trump, who always tells the truth? Just kidding.
Contrast that with the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. That pool of men who created this country were nothing like the third-rate grandstanding pussies that we have to put up with these days. Now let's go back to that Declaration of Independence. You know what I don't see when I look at the signers? A founding father whose profession was career politician. They'd lived a life, made a living, ran a business, managed a farm, ran plantations, practiced law or medicine. Some were scientists, inventors, and printers. Benjamin Franklin was all three. Trump, he's a rich businessman that had a rich daddy. Biden doesn't even know where he's at half the time. Obama, he was a community organizer turned politician turned president. George W. Bush was a rich Nepo baby with a drinking problem. Clinton was a corrupt politician who ran an alleged drug ring and was also a lifelong pervert. George H.W. Bush was a rich guy that was an agent for the CIA. Reagan was an actor. Shall I continue? Presidents used to evoke wisdom, but not anymore. While presidents today look at the debt clock and do nothing about it, Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." While presidents today bend the knee to banking institutions and deem them too big to fail, President Thomas Jefferson said that, quote, the banking establishment are more dangerous than standing armies. While presidents today oversee a government that funds and regulates citizens from cradle to grave, President Andrew Jackson said, quote, let the people rule. While presidents today bungle troop withdrawals, disaster recovery, wars, global pandemics, healthcare, and border security, President Martin Van Buren said things like, quote, it is easier to do a job right than to explain why you didn't. While presidents today support the government tracking and tracing our every move, President James Monroe said, quote, we must support our rights or lose our character, and with it, perhaps our liberties. While presidents today oversee a government that serves foreign nations, President Jefferson looked at the crown's 3-cent tax on tea and said,
fuck you.
And here's another story about an early American president that you've probably never heard, but it definitely adds a little color to what our expectations in a president should be. During the War of 1812, things got pretty wild. The British were on their way to D.C. They would eventually burn the White House to the ground. But before that, President Madison would borrow a pair of dueling pistols from his Treasury Secretary, hop on a horse, and ride out to the Bladensburg battlefield with a posse, including his Secretary of State. He was the only president to be on an active battlefield. Can you imagine Trump borrowing a pair of pistols from Scott Bessent? Yeah, me neither. Do you think old poopy pants Biden or bone spurs over here are going to ride out to a battle for a war that they started? Me neither. But shouldn't they? Think about how different our country would be and how different the man drawn to the Oval Office would be if presidents had to fight in the wars that they wage. What if congressmen who voted for the war had to also serve? Now that's a radical idea, so it'll probably never happen. But why can't we go back to the days when presidents were men with character, principle, and integrity? Men that thought twice before sending your son out to die for a feckless war. Men that if the time came and the war was at their door, would run out with a gun and defend their nation. You know what would happen today? They would run on Air Force One and fly away, never to be seen again. Today, James Madison wouldn't be able to even get noticed by the American public. He was small and sickly, so small, in fact, that his nickname was Little Jimmy. While physically unimpressive, he was intellectually superior. And he was certainly passionate and dedicated enough to America that he grabbed a gun and went onto the battlefield. I want to go back to a time when we elected nerds with pistols as president. Hold on, I think I know a guy. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.